All right, welcome to the show. This is episode 6. Happy belated Halloween. That was this week. Did everybody have a good Halloween?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I had friends over, and there was a baby shark in attendance, and it just made my entire Halloween. It was perfect.
Well, if it's as precious as I'm thinking in my head, that's a pretty rocking night.
It was adorable, yeah.
Oh, the big news, we all met. We all were in the same room together.
I know, that was a Halloween miracle.
Yeah.
Miracle, that's beautiful.
Posted the picture on our website. Let's see, do we want to tell everybody what we dressed up as? Or no?
I mean, you could kind of tell what I was, but I didn't put my jacket on, so I was a half-assed Negan from Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't dressed in my Halloween costume, but if you saw my Instagram, I was dressed as Georgie for actual Halloween.
That's true.
Which also, I'd like to point out, some lady asked if I was Winnie the Pooh yesterday.
Oh my God.
And I was like, maybe a deceased Winnie the Pooh?
Right, that'd be a little morbid to be a dead Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah. Right, exactly. But
well, Winnie the Pooh is precious, so that's good.
And last night we were walking around our neighborhood and there was a Pennywise like giant figure in someone's yard, and I was like, oh, there's my buddy. It worked out really nice.
That's awesome.
And my husband and I were Bob and Linda Belcher from Bob's Burgers. It was a very easy one. He looks and sounds a lot like Bob, so it worked out really well.
Which really made me regret not going to my storage unit and getting my Louis stuff. I could have
It would have been really cool,
but I just didn't go. I should have. I'm such a lazy piece of shit.
Well, and your husband committed. He shaved everything off but his mustache, and it was
that was pretty
rocking mustache. I have to say,
extremely committed. Yes.
Yeah. I was debating shaving my beard. It's like, you know, 6 or 7 months of no shaving down the drain for one night. I was like, I just couldn't do it.
I have to say, Eli, I think you won Halloween, though, with your costume.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, it came together
100%.
Really well. I got to give my friend Sarah Liberto a shout out. She's a friend from back home in Jackson, and she's up here in Nashville now. We had me, her, and my friend Ted. We had a party in East Nashville that we were in charge of and decorated and all that. And then I went over to Lena's and met up. So she really completed it. You know, where I was at about 60 or 70%. She took it all the way to 100. So, for those that did not see, I was the saxophone man from the Lost Boys, and, I still believe. So it was good. And the thing that's irritating is, like, I already have my costume picked out for next year, and I was trying to, can I pull this off and wear it Halloween? Like, can I do it this year? And by the time yesterday or, you know, Halloween rolled around, I was zapped. There was no way. So I already know what I'm doing next year, but.
Can you tell us?
No.
Okay. It'd be a surprise.
Maybe we'll have another Halloween rendezvous and you can see it in the flesh.
Yes.
You guys are way better than the Halloween thing that I am.
Well,
because
I mean, in my defense,
you looked pretty awesome.
Oh
yeah!
No.
Well,
that was awesome.
I procrastinated, and I was very, very disappointed in myself.
Well,
no, you were awesome. You had the amazing Lucille with you, which I thought was very committed.
The thing is that I wanted to cosplay Negan, and when I say that, I say the word cosplay and not Halloween costume because I am a stickler for accuracy. Mm-hmm. So the fact that my hair is red and I had glasses and just looked generally too clean, just I would have rather worn like a costume from Target. But it was the only thing that I've had time to do. This is probably the first year that like I haven't really put a lot of effort into my Halloween costume. Because I've just been so busy.
But you look like you put in some effort. Which
I'll have to redeem myself eventually.
Well, I will have to redeem myself. I think you and I had that conversation about when I was at the Walker Stalker convention, and I mean, honestly, I think the ladies pulled off Negan better than the guys did. The guys seemed more lazy to me, and I mean, they're there in front of the actors on the show, and they're just like, you know, I'll throw him a pleather jacket and a wolf ball bat, and I'm Negan. I'm like, not really.
I didn't get around to being able to order a wig or anything. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll redeem myself next year.
Well, this was the first time I had dressed up since like 2011, so 6 years. So, I definitely wanted to redeem the lost years where I didn't get to dress up. So. And sometimes, you know, I've had people, nothing specific, but it's almost like some people look down on people that buy the store-bought stuff. And, you know, if you can, you know, whether you have like me, I had my friend Sarah help me out, or if you're just somebody that's incredible with the cosplay stuff and do your own stuff, more power to you, man. That's awesome. I wish I could do it. I mean, if I hadn't had my friend who's a professional stylist do it for me, help me with it, I mean, it wouldn't have turned out the way it was. But I mean, I don't think it makes you less of a Halloween fan or less in the spirit because you go to Target and buy a $50 costume. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's kind of bothered me the last time I dressed up, I was Cobra Commander, and it was a store. Well, it wasn't store bought, but it was like a, you know, kind of what
when I say Target. When I say store bought costume, I mean like sexy Captain America.
Yeah. Now some of that is stuff, what I mean. Agree. I think that trend is kind of, I don't know. I think I remember seeing that stuff like 2002 or 2003, and because it was so, well, it was hypersexual for one, but it was so different. I mean, you're like, wow, you know, do I want to fuck Snow White? Like, what is going on here? You know?
Right. Yeah.
But really, now they're like,
it's really bizarre.
Yeah. But now you have the sexy It, and you have like sexy Chucky, yeah. And you know, some of the stuff's just a little much, but
right. I mean, my inspiration, I saw a girl post something about sexy Georgie, but I did not go that route.
Yeah. It was like a
short yellow skirt with the jacket.
Ooh, no. No.
He's a kid.
No. No.
But,
it's gross.
Yeah. But yeah, that little tangent, I was just, you know, kind of getting the, I guess the main point was, you know, some people just celebrate it the way they want to celebrate. You know, some people don't dress up. Some people just run over to Target and spend $50. Some people start planning their stuff in May and in June. And then, I mean, you're getting 4 or 5 months into it. So, you know, each person has their own way of celebrating. I spent, I don't know, probably hundreds of bucks on decorations, and it's all in my desk. Like, I'm, you know, well, it's decorated, but it's just at my desk. Like, I didn't do my house or the outside or anything like that. So, I think everybody can celebrate it in their own way. So, you know.
Yeah, for sure. But, just as long as you're not sexy It, and then you're
yeah.
yeah. Right. Because it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So. Well, cool. Well, we're going to get started on the new stuff, and don't think it's, you know, this list is as big as last week, obviously, heading into Halloween, but there are a few things going on, so KB is going to get us started on that.
Yeah, there weren't really any new physical releases this week, but I do have some news kind of lined up for you guys. The biggest one, I believe, is that the Rise of the Living Dead was announced today, which I think is really important. I'm really surprised that this guy has, you know, it's Cameron Romero, it's the, you know, George Romero's son, but he did a Indiegogo campaign and raised $30,000. He's talking about how he's wanted to do this for years, and it's a prelude to Night of the Living Dead, but he wants to do it right. So is $30,000 enough?
That's kind of hard nowadays to swing that. I don't know. I mean, it can be done. It's just, that's hard. You got to find ways to stretch that out a little bit more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if there's not a lot of special effects, you know, if it takes place before the Night of the Living Dead, maybe they're exploring, you know, before the zombie stuff happened, then maybe you could pull it off. If you could do it kind of like Clerks, Kevin Smith, where it's like one location, not a lot of props, not a lot of actors and stuff. I mean, but that's like stretching it like super tight. I mean, that's like, that's almost no money
Let me put it in perspective for the people listening. The budget for it was $35 million. Mm-hmm. Which is fairly low.
Yeah. Right.
They've made, and I'm pulling this right off of Google, they made $666.6 million U.S. dollars. Mm-hmm. So $30,000 seems, I know, right? $30,000 seems a little small, just a tiny bit.
I mean, the movie that I was... had a part in like 2 years ago. I think it had like $200,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. I just remember that one was originally called Origins and now they've changed it to the, the other name. So,
interesting.
Right. I mean, I think it's like maybe, you know, if he can get some names that maybe will do a pay cut or maybe get points on the back end or just to be associated with the Romero name, maybe that'll do it. But,
I'm very skeptical. So we'll see. There's no other information really about it, about when it's going to come out or who's going to be in it. We don't have anything like that for you guys, but it's at least being talked about. I mean, that movie carved, you know, a huge canyon for zombie movies. I can't say a pass. I mean, it's inspired pretty much every, you know, zombie movie from its release in 1968. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. This could be good. This could be mediocre, in my opinion. Next up, I've got a couple of release dates for you from the team from A24 who did The Witch, which we all really, really loved. They have not released any information about the movies, but these will be released on March 16th and April 27th of 2018. So those are two projects. And I love The Witch. And they've done a couple other things that I'm not super, super familiar with. I did see Green Room, which fucked me up.
That movie is insane.
They also did The Black Coat's Daughter, which I was a pretty big fan of. I did not like Tusk at all.
Mm.
I was not a fan of Tusk. I haven't seen Ex Machina, and I haven't seen It Comes at Night or A Ghost Story yet, but I've heard good things about all of those movies. So they are very well received in the horror community. So I think everybody's got, I think everybody's got their hopes up. So let's hope that that's not going to be any kind of a letdown.
Yeah. They do
some really cool, unique stuff with horror that I think stretches the boundaries a lot. And I think horror fans really appreciate that kind of stuff, especially if you're like, I've already seen all of this stuff done before. So when they throw something at you, like The Witch or even Black Coat's Daughter, which I thought was a little boring for me, but I still appreciated that they tried something just really different and really unique. And I just think that they have a lot of respect for horror fans' intelligence. Mm-hmm. And I think that I liked
The Black Coat's Daughter because it was kind of chill, but it was still scary.
It had a good atmosphere for sure. They did a great job with that.
Yeah. I was a fan. I think I'd give that one another rewatch if I had the chance.
Yeah.
The next bit of news I've got is that a Pet Sematary remake has also been announced. Now, I do not know who is part of this project. If you guys know, chime in. And I know that Andy Muschietti, that made it originally, had mentioned that he wanted to also do Pet Sematary, but it looks like somebody else scooped it up.
Yeah, it's whoever directed Starry Eyes, which is a film
which
I'm not
familiar
with.
That is. Yeah.
Oh, I saw that when it came out. It's really good. It's weird, but it's really good.
I have never even heard of it.
Yeah, it's on. I think it's on either. Netflix.
Oh, okay, I'll have to check that out.
It's worth a watch for sure. A lot of people really love it. It was it wasn't my favorite thing ever, but a lot of people really liked it a lot.
Yeah. We'll keep you guys posted on the Pet Sematary remake news. But again, it's just been announced. There's no release date. There's no cast. There's only, I think, producers and writers. So we'll keep you guys up to date as that comes out. And the last one I have is probably the one that I personally am most excited about. If you're familiar with the Funko Pop versions of Freddy Krueger and all of our favorite classic monsters, we are finally getting the legend David S. Pumpkins.
Woo! Any questions?
Any questions? I mean, he is, in my opinion, now a Halloween legend.
Yeah, absolutely. He's now part of the pantheon of Halloween.
They just need the skeletons.
Right, which you know we will get.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. You know we will get. They won't do David S. Pumpkins without doing both skeletons. Mm-hmm. There's no way. They do everything that you could ever think of.
Yeah.
And that's why I have, like, 50.
The Halloween special came out this past weekend, and it's really good.
I really need to finish it.
I think it's funny because it's just... And this isn't really spoiling anything. I mean, he just is. I mean, there's not
a good way to Halloween.
Yeah, you know,
he is the embodiment of Halloween.
I mean, yeah, I mean, he's just like there's not this big long backstory, and it's really quirky. And you know, I've heard some people on Twitter like, you know, I don't get it, or it's not funny, and it's just like, you know, like not everything is gonna be an art house or something that makes you think right. For weeks. I mean, some things are just stupid and funny and quirky. And you know I've mentioned it before, you know, I love the PG aspect of Halloween, and I like the R-rated aspect about Halloween, you know, guts and gore and stuff. Mm. So, I mean, this is right in the wheelhouse of the PG stuff. I mean, he's harmless and quirky and, you know, just
I watched
random.
The first couple of minutes of it, but I ended up having to go somewhere, so I didn't get the chance to finish it. But the pop is super cute. He's in his little pose where he's like doing the finger guns, his little his little famous pose. So I do hope that they come out with the skeletons fairly quickly, because I'll get it. Absolutely. Like I'm not even going to try and deny the fact that I'm going to buy it.
And everybody loves Tom Hanks too. He's America's dad. So whatever you see, like America's dad in that sort of suit and just being goofy. It's such like dad joke kind of humor, and I love it. It's just right up the alley that you want when you're just looking for something goofy for Halloween. Right. And when we went out on Saturday night, my husband and I went to go see Here Come the Mummies. There were several couple costumes of David S. Pumpkins and a skeleton. Several.
God. Maybe I'll just go ahead and commit now. I'm going to ask my husband to dress up like a skeleton. Yes. And I will get my David S. Pumpkin suit. I will commit to it. I will commit to getting it altered to fit me. And I'll just go for it.
Yes. You can wear it all year round, too.
Exactly.
Yep.
I could wear just the blazer with, you know, some jeans.
Or, you know, if your husband doesn't want to, Kayla and I could be your skeletons.
Mm-hmm. True. Oh, my God. Even better. Yes. Better. I think that we should just go ahead and make a pact that that's what's happening.
Sounds good.
Eli's got a costume already. So,
yeah,
it's the suit. So.
Well, it's been tough not to wear the pumpkin suit. I wore it the one time and sent y'all the pictures. And I mean, I was like, can I wear this on November 1st? Because it's freaking awesome. So
it is awesome.
It has like a magical quality, like
Frosty the Snowman's hat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I felt like I was going into a different portal or something. It's incredible.
Right.
And one of the things that I think all of us and our listeners need to remember is that Halloween is a lifestyle, not just a holiday. And so
Amen.
I think people should keep that in mind when they're, you know, wearing pumpkin suits and things like that, that it's a mindset and a lifestyle, not just one day. We get the whole year.
And we're going to try to keep it going. I posted on the website, it's the post-Halloween blues, and it's a pumpkin crying. So, you know, it does kind of dry up a little bit, but, you know, like Kayla just said, it's definitely a lifestyle. And I know some people, it's 365. I mean, they have Halloween rooms and they decorate it in their house and decorations never come down. So we're going to try to 100%. Keep the spirit going.
That's the life that I wanted for myself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've got skulls and creepy hands and, you know, everything is just morbid.
Yeah.
With like, you know, Disney and like Harry Potter stuff. Mm-hmm. So it just looks like a 14-year-old boy decorated my house.
And that's the great thing. That's like the one good thing about being an adult is that you get to decorate your house.
Right.
There's not really else that's really that great about it, except maybe drinking age. Yeah. But besides that, it's decorating your house however you like. It's great.
And you can also start a podcast with strangers. That's been pretty fun.
Brew. I mean, no one tells you not to talk to strangers anymore.
Yeah.
It's fine, I guess.
Yeah.
You
guys are all right.
Well, I was thinking about this the other day when Kayla and KB came over. They're like, thanks for inviting strangers over to your house that you haven't met before. But I have made some of my best friends that way. So, but that was very true.
It's true.
We're friends now. So,
officially, because it's not a friendship if it's only on the internet.
That's true.
Yeah,
true. Yeah,
he was like, yeah, we were real friends.
That's true.
Until then,
I think
I think I only had one more.
Yeah, because I have one too.
This was just really interesting to read because I think that this is kind of proving that we are in an age where what did we call it? The resurgence of horror.
Mm-hmm.
Horror movies have made over $1 billion in 2017.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's one of the biggest years ever. I think it maybe is the biggest year ever, technically.
That's awesome.
You can tell
that it's becoming a focus. It's people are getting a hold on what's scary again, and it's not jump scares and loud music. So I got to give a round of applause to everybody that has given us worthwhile fear this year.
Absolutely.
And then I'm done. Eli, you had one. You can take the mic.
I think we've mentioned this. I know Kayla's mentioned it. But it looks like it was officially confirmed this afternoon. But and I never can pronounce his name right. Taika Waititi?
Yes.
Is that close?
Nailed it. Good job.
Okay. He's directing the new Thor. It's coming out. Is it this week or next week? I don't remember.
I can't remember either.
Yeah, it's soon. Coming out soon. But he did What We Do in the Shadows in 2004. Well, they have officially 100% confirmed a sequel.
Yes, woo! I love that movie
and
so much.
The title is called Werewolves.
Nice.
So werewolves, yeah.
Wait, a sequel to what?
What We Do in the Shadows.
Not familiar.
Don't say it. Don't say it. Oh,
it's the best movie ever.
Really good.
Not familiar.
Really good.
Yeah, you'll have to watch it ASAP. It's amazing.
He's in it, and then Jemaine Clement from Flight of the
Conchords. I love him.
Yeah, they play vampires.
I'm a huge Flight of the Conchords fan.
And he was also amazing
in Moana.
Yeah. Yes, he was. This movie will be absolutely perfect for you. It's right up your alley.
One of the dudes from that show too, Rhys Darby, he was one of the werewolves. And it's going to focus on them. That's going to be the focus of the movie, but the vampires will be a part of it. But it falls into the horror thing. It's about vampires, and there's some bloody parts, but it's mainly a comedy. It's more of a, I think they call it a mockumentary. It's kind of like,
Where can I watch this?
I don't know. It's been out about 3 years now.
If I can find my DVD, so I'll let you borrow it. I don't know where it is, though.
This sounds amazing.
It is absolutely amazing. It's perfect.
I just pulled up the poster online, and it looks so good. Okay, yeah, I have to watch this movie. Maybe I can get it on Amazon.
It's on Amazon Prime, so if you have
Prime, okay, sweet. Then I can watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely worth the watch. It's pretty silly. It's kind of like Spinal Tap, but with vampires. You know, it's that kind of vibe. So,
yay! I'm excited. I needed something new to watch to further put off Stranger Things.
Yeah. Oh, poor Stranger Things.
Right. I mean, I don't think we're going to talk about it much, but everybody but me has watched the first episode. So if you guys want to weigh in spoiler free, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, I think we should
wait a little bit.
Yeah, I think we're going to give it a couple weeks because we were talking about how not everyone's dived in, you know, with Halloween weekend. But
thumbs up, thumbs down, first episode. I'm sure it's a thumbs up.
Oh, sure.
Thumbs up.
Sweet. Sweet. So we'll leave it at that for now, and then we'll give you a whole very, very, very long conversation about the entire season soon. Mm-hmm.
Well, cool. Well, that was a shorter list for the new stuff. So, okay. So I guess we're going to go straight to the topic, right?
Yes.
I believe so.
Cool.
Let's do this.
All right. Well, we had our snazzy sound effect last week, so I guess we'll keep it. So this week, the topic of the show is Stephen King. We are going to talk about, I think we're going to touch on our favorite movie adaptations, and I guess that extends into television too, and then maybe our favorite books, and then I think we're starting with maybe our first memory of Stephen King, or maybe how we got introduced to him, I think is what we're talking about, and then at the end of it, I think we might have like a lightning round to kind of close it out. So I think we're going to start with Kayla this week. I think this was one she's really been excited about, being the librarian and all. So I'm going to let her take it away.
Yes, I am so excited to be talking about Stephen King. Excuse me. I've loved him for years and years. I first got into him because my grandfather was a huge fan of Stephen King from the very beginning. He had every Stephen King hardback first edition since Carrie. So he bought Carrie right when it came out, and he was a fan ever since. And he used to keep them in a guest room in my grandparents' house. And I would sneak in there when I had like a little extra time when I was just hanging out at their house and look at the covers and kind of read the flaps and stuff and just get really creeped out from just looking at the covers. And this is just something I was just drawn to, was his huge Stephen King collection. And it just really got me interested in him. And of course, Stephen King is just almost omnipresent in our culture. And so many movies are based on his work and so many TV shows. Sometimes you don't even realize it until you're like, oh, that's Stephen King. That's cool. And I think that was just part of it when I was growing up. he's just been a really big deal ever since I was a kid. And I had my grandfather to thank for that. And he really encouraged me to read his books and watch the movies. And we went to go see a couple of the movies together and talked about the books a lot. And so that was a really special bond that he and I had with Stephen King. And I actually got to see Stephen King, I think 2 years ago, he came to the Ryman Auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to go see him speak, and it was just a dream come true. He's
awesome.
Absolutely amazing. He's hilarious and just a great storyteller, and it was a total blast.
He was actually at a bookstore somewhere, I think, around this area over the summer. Earlier this summer, like May or June. And you had to, it wasn't like a ticket, but you had to get online and like, I mean, it was basically a ticket. I don't know why they, I guess it wasn't a ticket because they didn't charge you for it, but you had to get a place in line or whatever. And they were gone in like 90 seconds. So.
Wow. Yeah. He's that kind of guy. He's like a national treasure at this point. But my favorite book by Stephen King is really hard because I've read a lot of them. And I feel like it changes every time I think about it. But for tonight, thinking about my favorite book and also a great adaptation is Misery. Mm-hmm. And the movie stars Kathy Bates and, oh my gosh, James Caan, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, James Caan. And James Caan is a writer, and he's been really stuck with this kind of romance genre. And he's just really sick of it. And so he writes a new book in the installment of the series where the main character, who's very beloved, dies. And he gets into a car accident. And he is rescued by his number one fan, Annie Wilkes, played by Kathy Bates in the movie, who seems like super sweet. And she's just like goody two shoes kind of lady. But naturally, we all can figure that she is actually really terrifying, and she's really, really intense. Yeah, she's a very obsessive fan and so scary. And I think it's just a different kind of horror is that this is coming from, I think a woman especially was extra scary because we often don't see women in those sorts of roles as this kind of terrifying killer obsessive fan, and to see, you know, sweet Kathy Bates look like that and act like that was terrifying, and the idea of it is so scary. And in the movie, Kathy Bates won an Oscar for her performance, which is one of the few kind of horror Oscars that horror movies have won. She's got one of those. I also really like Carrie, which is Stephen King's first novel. Anybody else a Carrie fan as well?
Oh, yes, totally.
Absolutely. So good. Yes. And the book's really good. It's his first book. But the movie I think is especially great. The original, from 76. And I think a lot of it is just really based around Sissy Spacek's performance in that. She's so strong, and she's such a strong actor. And I think just the opening scene where she's in the shower with all the girls, and it's just this weird, like, ethereal scene. And then she gets her period, and she doesn't know what's going on, and she thinks that she's dying. And she's mm-hmm. asking the other girls for help. And to me, watching that as, like, a preteen girl and a teenage girl, it just hit home so close. And I think that that's part of the experience of watching Carrie for a lot of girls is, like, oh, wow, you can tell Stephen King's worked in a high school. Like, he knows what kids act like, and
yes.
It comes across.
It makes it real.
It makes it so real, and it's very scary because a lot of people have been in situations like that, and it's really scary. And so he goes from that being such a scary thing to being that source of her power that comes out. As she's becoming a woman, and it's just such a powerful, it's just such a powerful story. It's just so interesting. Oh, it's so scary.
And it's 100% one of the most iconic films ever.
Sure. Yeah. Everybody knows that image of that pig's blood falling on Carrie and her eyes getting so big. And it's so
scary. I read this online earlier that when he started writing that book, he wasn't super thrilled about it, so he threw it away. And his wife pulled it out of the trash and encouraged him to finish it.
Oh, she's so wonderful. Yeah. Every time he talks about his wife, it's just amazing.
Yeah,
she's
it's so awesome. And I guess up front, you know, he got $2,500 from the publisher for the book, but ended up making $400,000 from paperback, just paperback sales, which is just amazing.
So cool. Oh, it's just so good. And I have the Carrie Funko, which just came out too. I love her so much.
They keep roping us in.
I know. They know how to get us. They know how to get us. And I will just a really quick shout out for another book. If you love talking about horror and thinking about horror as a genre and how it reflects our fears, kind of socially and personally, you should read his book, Dance Macabre, or Macabre, however you like to pronounce it. And it's a nonfiction book that he wrote about horror and its influence in talking about social fears and anxieties. And it's really fascinating. And it's not like a highfalutin kind of academic thing. It's very readable and very interesting. So if you're...
That sounds really, really intriguing.
It is. It's really great. So definitely check it out if that's up your alley.
Cool.
I think that means it's my turn.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, Kathy Bates is from Memphis, so Tennessee girl.
Oh!
Is she really?
Oh, yeah.
That's so cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So she, like you said, she won the Oscar for horror a year or two before, you know, Silence of the Lambs was kind of the darling of the ball. So.
Right.
So.
Nice.
Well,
right.
Cool. Yeah.
So, this one was hard for me just because I have not really went back and rewatched a lot of his stuff over the years. Now, keep in mind, this man has been working from the early 90s until now. So that's a lot of material to cover. And...
Oh, he's so prolific.
I had to kind of sit down and remind myself of everything that he has had his hands on. And it's stuff that you don't even really think about. It's like, I love Carrie. I've always loved Carrie. But sometimes I forget that that's Stephen King. And I don't know if it's just me, but for some reason, I just don't retain that information. So Mine was easy, but it was also hard because I went through this list of all of these things that he's done, and then I've realized I've never really remembered a time where I discovered Stephen King. Like, it's just like he's always been there. he's always just been a part of my life. And I know that it's because I've seen my parents watching his shows. I was born in 87, so I wasn't too awfully young when he started really releasing a lot of stuff, and he was kind of at the pinnacle of these TV series, you know, when I was able to watch and understand this stuff. But my mom has always been a big fan of spooky stuff. She always loved to read, and one of her favorite things to read was a series called The Necroscope. I don't know if you guys are familiar with what that is. It was this entire vampire, really kind of brutal book series by a British author named Brian Lumley. But she also read Stephen King. And unfortunately, I can't say that I grew up reading the books. I wish that I had. And I would love to actually start. I'm not going to say read because I don't have time to sit down and read, but listening to the audiobooks, which I've already started doing with it. I've taken a couple of weeks off from listening to it, but I'm going to get back onto it. But so that's my choice. I mean, hands down, it was always the movie that stood out for me over, you know, I've watched Rose Red, I've watched Dreamcatcher, The Shining, I loved, that's another classic movie, you know, that I'm sure somebody else will talk about. But stuff like The Stand and
The Langoliers. I don't remember anything about it, but I remember
watching that movie. I don't remember anything about it, but it's just one of those things, like I said, like it's just there. I need to revisit all of this stuff. But as a huge fan of Tim Curry, you know, it was probably my favorite, not only because it's a great story, but because I love Tim Curry so much.
He's a treasure.
Right. So, you know, when we were lucky enough to get this remake and this updated version, I've been in heaven ever since. And I've talked about this before the first time we kind of talked about it. And I have specifically requested, once I finish the book, a full episode comparing the book to the movie and the miniseries, because I'm that passionate about it. You know, this remake was just more than I could ask for, in my opinion. So we've got a second part we're going to get. So I am living my best life right now when it comes to being an It fan and a Pennywise fan. I just dyed my hair red. So, you know, I love it. I love it. And I think that's, it's not everybody's favorite. And there's a lot of people that kind of get, I don't want to say a little weird about it, but I have some people that they don't like the original and they don't like the updated version. And I'm like, how? Who are you?
What they aren't your friends?
How are you? Which I don't think I'm the only person in this group that is obsessed with that movie.
No, you're not alone.
Right.
My other favorite, which I don't know if you guys know this, but I did find this out when I was looking at the list. This is actually something that I knew. He helped write the Michael Jackson music video Ghosts. Do you guys remember that?
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
I remember that, but I did not know that.
I was obsessed with that video. Like, it was so campy. And it was so cool. He always loved doing the like mini movie music videos. Mm-hmm. So
I saw that in like 2001 or 2002, like right when his last album came out. But evidently that had came out in like the 90s, like 98 or 97. Yeah, 97. Or something. 97, yeah.
97.
So I guess they just rebroadcast or something. So I was always confused on that timeline. But
I think that's something, you know, around the time that MTV was still alive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think
that's really something that they actually showed every year there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like it's basically, you know, his second version of Thriller,
mm-hmm.
but it's good. The music is fantastic. I mean, of course it is, but there's cool prosthetic work. There is, of course, you know, lots of dancing, lots of music, but the fact that Stephen King helped write it just made me, like, it made it so much better.
Yeah. That's so fun.
That's awesome.
As if it could get any better. So I advise anyone, if you have not watched Ghosts or at least listened to the Blood on the Dance Floor album, please take the time and do so, because it is so good. And it holds up in 2017. I every time I watch it, I get so excited. So awesome.
We'll have to check that out for sure. That's great.
So that was mine. Cause I mean, I could talk about it for hours, and that's really all I have to say. I remember growing up with Stephen King. I don't necessarily remember a lot of details, a lot of the movies, which just goes to show that I need to take the time to sit down and kind of reacquaint myself. But it's just something that's always been there.
Yeah. I agree with KB. Like, it is my number one, no doubt. The television series and the remake are just both fantastic and have scared me to death for my whole life. That's my number one. And my number two is The Shining, which I know a lot of people are familiar with, but I wanted to touch on my number three, which is 1408. Have y'all seen that one?
Yes.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but I think I saw it like when it came out.
I love it. It's one of those I like to just turn on and have in the background, just listening to it. It was a short story that he wrote, and I've read the short story, but the movie stars John Cusack and Samuel L. Jackson. But it's about an author that debunks paranormal occurrences in, you know, different places. But he hears about 1408 from a postcard that he gets from an anonymous person, and goes to check it out. But the whole movie is like pretty much based in the hotel room. I just think it's a fun movie. It's one of the more fun ones. And just how, I don't want to spoil anything for anyone that hasn't seen it, but he gets out of the hotel room, but it's not that easy. He may or may not have escaped the hotel room. But that's just one of my favorites. But I also wanted to touch on some of the other, like, Stephen King adaptation movies that I really like. Like, I do really like The Mist, which I know a lot of people don't like The Mist, like the actual movie, not the TV show. But
no, I enjoyed the movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't terrible.
Yeah, the movie's not bad.
You know, the end, I did not see that coming at all, and I loved that. I'm not good at predicting things anyways, but I thought that was awesome. And then Thinner is another one of my favorites. I think that's fun. That was from 1996, which I didn't know it was that long ago.
Wow. I hadn't thought about that movie in forever. Wow.
Yeah. That was on Sci-Fi Night 2. It was during October. I recorded it. Also, Eli mentioned Cujo earlier. Cujo's awesome. But here's one. I don't know if y'all seen Quicksilver Highway.
Nope.
No. No.
Oh, so that one has a couple of short stories in the film, which one of them is a Stephen King short story called Chattery Teeth, which is about a man that comes across, remember those little toys you can wind up and it's the little teeth that jump with the feet?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So someone gives him a set of those and it turns out that they're kind of like killer teeth that kind of protect him a little bit.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very entertaining film. There's another short story from Clive Barker in that one too, which, I mean, his books are insane as well. If you like Stephen King. That's another awesome one. As far as books go, I have not read that many, which I'm ashamed of, but I have read The Shining, which I read that during a beach trip one summer, which it terrified me on the beach. I couldn't imagine reading it the wintry time when it takes place. But yeah, what a wild book. That was a lot of fun. I'm in the midst of it right now, which I'll probably be reading that till next Halloween.
Man, I had been committing so much time to that book that I think I stopped listening to music for 2 weeks.
Oh no.
And it was starting to stress me out.
No.
Like the book was, I mean, you get so into it, especially when you're listening to it, like it's in your ears. So it feels like it's in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's what
I had to stop.
It's once just, you're done, though, you'll feel like a champion of the world.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, I think it's awesome how you've got the It TV series that came out, you know, in the 90s, and then the recent one and the book, and they're all, in their own way, kind of different. Because I heard that the book had some things that both the TV series and the movies didn't have, mm-hmm. So
thankfully.
I'm excited about it. Finding all that out, aka the turtle, which is what I heard about. So
yeah, right. There was a nod to that in the new one, but it's not.
Ah,
not obviously
like that. That one.
I'll tell you, it's not very. It's when he sees Georgie the first time and he drops the Legos. The Legos of a big turtle.
Well, they're in the lake and someone says something about a turtle.
That's
so
right.
There's mentions of turtles several times,
yeah.
And that was something that I looked out for because I knew about it.
But it's a good. Wow. Never mind. We'll talk about this next year when you finish the book.
Right. Yeah. our big it episode.
Yeah.
And so my mom is the one that's the big Stephen King fan. So I asked her what her favorite books were, and she sent me a video of her collection. She's got 25 of his books, I counted.
Wow.
Yeah, she's got a great little inventory. I'll have to go shopping in when I go home. Of course, as said on another episode, she loved It, which is the one that she read when she was pregnant with me. So it's just funny how this all comes back around. And then Gerald's Game was her next favorite one. And she said that she liked the book better than the movie just because, you know, when you're reading the book, you kind of feel like the main character, the woman, like how long she was waiting in that bed, you know.
Mm.
As opposed to the movie, that was like an hour and a half, hour and 45 or so. So understandable. And then her third favorite was the 11-22-63, the JFK book.
Yes.
Which I'm very interested in. Yeah, she loved that. She didn't love the miniseries as much, but I'm super curious about that one. So that's kind of on my reading list right now. So that's all I have. Well, also, I wanted to add, this is always interests me is, you know, what's the net worth of people, specifically Stephen King. His net worth is $400 million, which I just think is fascinating.
That's amazing for a writer. Like, that's mind-blowing.
Like, you go, boy. So.
Yeah. For sure.
Yes. What about you, Ty?
Cool. So I just wanted to interject a few things from y'all. I was going to let everybody get finished. So not only did Stephen King help with Ghost, it was actually directed by Stan Winston, the special effects maestro. He did the, you know, Monster Squad special effects and makeup.
That's pretty incredible. Yeah. I mean, the prosthetics in that video are really, really good.
Well, he did. I think he also directed Pumpkinhead. So that was, you know, he did a horror movie. But it's also in the Guinness Book of World Records as the longest music video of all time because it's technically a video for that song and it's 38 minutes long. So
yeah.
Oh, wow. That is
yeah.
Really
cool. Yeah. And then
so I love it.
I was going to kind of interject. we were talking about the Pet Sematary remake earlier, and we talked about the It's a remake. The only thing I'm worried about is that with It, you know, it was a TV show, and they obviously had to cut, you know, they cut stuff off of the It movie just for, you know, it was gross and you know, some of that stuff, but they had to cut even more to get it on TV. So, you know, I kind of understood why they did that. I mean, Pet Sematary, though, it was an R-rated movie in like 90 or 91. So I'm kind of, I don't really know what they're going to do to like improve on it, you know, unless they're just going to make it like super bloody and gory and stuff.
So, yeah. To me, it's already pretty excellent and freaking terrifying just the way it is right now, even being made so long ago that I kind of don't see the point of a remake. I mean, I know it's like the thing now, but just re-release it or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
we'll see.
I mean, it's almost like if they were, you know, hey, we're going to redo Shawshank Redemption. Like, why?
why would you even touch that? Right?
So we'll see. You know, it was a very pleasant surprise. You know, I don't know if any of us really expected it to be what it was or perform the way it has or whatever. So maybe, you know, now that the studios are seeing what can happen when they throw some money on it, that maybe it'll, I don't know, blow us away or something. So anyways, I was just going to interject on those 2 points. So for me, this is dating me because I think I'm noticed in the group now. which I can't remember if Scott was, but we don't talk to him anymore. I honestly remember Stephen King in the late 80s, early 90s from the Time Life collection, like the commercials. And it was like a club or, a subscription thing. And they'd send you like Carrie and Cujo and all his original stuff. And they had like a special cover and a special graphics and all that kind of stuff. And I just remember seeing that all the time. Because I remember when they mentioned like Pet Sematary, they showed a 1 or 2 second clip from Pet Sematary. And then they showed Needful Things, and they showed Little Thing from Needful Things movie. And so it was relevant with those movies that are out and stuff like that. So I think that's, where he came into my radar, my consciousness or whatever. It always seems like I saw those commercials forever, for like 3 or 4 years. As far as the book goes, I mean, one of the first ones I read, I don't remember if this was the first one, but it was one of the first ones I read. It was actually under his, Richard Bachman, alias, but it was called Rage. And, it's actually really hard to find now because it's basically, a kid gets a gun and goes into school and takes people hostage. And, that happens a lot now, Columbine and stuff like that. So, a lot of places have banned it, and it's kind of hard to find it in print, now, but I read that in the 90s, and, it's killer. It's really good. So I think that's like, I guess maybe my favorite, just because it's, either the first one I read or one of the very first ones I read. But my, it's kind of, this one's a tough one just because you have, with Stephen King, you have stuff like Shawshank Redemption, which was not a big financial hit, but, as the years go by, it's considered one of the best movies of the 90s, and it's just an incredible, performance from everybody. Stand By Me, you have all, I would put Misery up there. I mean, you have these incredible, Stephen King adaptations that have just aged very well, and they were just, just a little bit above the quality of a lot of the stuff being put out that was, his content. So for me, I've mentioned it before. I mean, Silver Bullet was one of my, probably the first Stephen King movie I saw, but also one of the first horror movies I saw. If you're on the website, I wrote about it on the movie list we did for October and had a really long thing about it. So, again, not great. It's not, it has not aged very well, but just the premise is incredible. And Gary Busey is on like 1,000 and Coke at the same time. So,
that sounds worth a watch for sure.
Oh, just yeah, for totally. That. Oh, it's in, that alone. Yeah. It's, but once you get into the premise and you kind of start figuring it out, it's just kind of like, holy shit, this is like very, very smart. I've mentioned this, I have that book, that's the novella Cycle of the Werewolf. In the book, it goes for 12 months. It starts in, I think, November and finishes on Halloween. In the movie, they just cut it down. Still ends on Halloween, but it's a shorter thing. So I think it would be awesome to throw some money on that and do a 12-part miniseries on TV and one per month, so if that happens in the next couple of years, that I said it here first. So, but I've also mentioned Cujo, and that goes into, I think maybe Kayla was talking about it. How, it's a real fear. Like some people really are afraid of dogs, and some people are really afraid of, spiders, and some people are really afraid of the water, And so these movies that play into those, Jaws, I think Jaws is scary because it's like, I can go to Florida and I could run into a shark. So yes, And so with me, again, I was attacked by a dog when I was little and had to have plastic surgery and all this stuff. So I inherently have a fear of dogs. So if I was over at Lena's and her adorable fluff ball of a dog, if he barks at me, I instantly like, oh, you know, I go into.
How do you think about that, Eli? Yeah.
Well, he's precious. It was no big deal. So
I love him so much.
Yeah, he's the best.
I mean, oh my God, he's the best.
If I was to tell you I didn't think about kidnapping him, I'd be lying to you. So
we all thought the same thing. Yeah. We're all okay.
But you know, so again, you know, I have two dogs here at the house, and you know, it's fine. But just that movie just goes into that fear I have because of what happened when I was a kid, and it's a real thing. You know, people get attacked by dogs all the time. So, you know, again, not the best movie in the world, but you know, Dee Wallace is in it. She's incredible. She was an ET. She was actually at the full moon thing this past weekend. I don't know if you saw her, Kayla, or not, but she was there. But, you know, I like, you know, obviously the new It was incredible. I like Carrie as well. I was trying to think of the, well, like there's one, I want to go watch The Mangler, and I mean, just on paper, I know it's not going to be good. It was, it was in his short story, The Night Shift. But it was basically, Toby Hopper directed it. You know, he did, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Hooper, sorry, not Hopper. I was watching Stranger Things. Robert Englund's in it, you know, Freddy Krueger. Ted Levine, who was Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs, and I think one more person, I don't remember. Anyways, I mean, it's basically about a possessed laundry press.
That's really scary, though.
Yeah. Well, wait, I mean, when you think about it, it is kind of scary, but it's like a... I guess like a dry cleaner or laundry or something. And like
a possessed laundry press?
And it starts like smushing people, mangling them. And so, you know, yeah, it kind of like,
that's so bizarre.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of like Maximum Overdrive, where it's like the cars or the trucks come to life and stuff, you know?
Right.
But I mean, it's done by New Line Cinema, and you know, it's got all these names attached to it. So I would at least like to watch it just to see, you know, but
yeah,
you know,
so, you know. Of all the ones to adapt, that's kind of hilarious. That short story collection is also really fun. Night Shift, it's just super bizarre. Some stuff is really scary, and then some stuff is really goofy like that, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've heard that one's not as a better one in his collection.
Yeah, it's fun. It's just really goofy mostly, but I enjoyed it a lot.
So, well, yeah, so that's mine. I think for the lightning round, we were going to talk about the worst Stephen King adaptations. Is that what we decided on? Just kind of,
yes,
just to poke fun, because, you know, unfortunately he, Mr. King has dabbled in directing some of his adaptations. I don't know if I don't know for sure if the one that I'm doing, is, you know, directed by him or whatever, but anyways, so yeah.
Really quick, I want to point out something that we all completely forgot to point out is that he did The Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, The Green Mile. Like, it's not, I feel like we maybe concentrated on kind of the scary ones a little bit too much. But I mean, that's what we talk about, but like he does complete opposite end of the spectrum too. So I feel like that maybe is something that we left out.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does really beautiful work sometimes, really highly emotional. Like, I even think about The Stand, which has some horror, but it's an epic, and it's just beautifully imagined. So I think about like how much talent he has is, you know, we're going to talk about like the trashy, dumb stuff, but he had immense talent for human emotions, really.
Yeah. That's what I was talking about with Shawshank, with mine. Like, it was, you know, it actually, believe it or not, it bombed when it came out, but now it's considered an all-time classic. And I think it's probably up in the top five, but I think the top three rated Stephen King movies are probably Shawshank, Stand By Me, and Misery. and then probably mm-hmm. maybe It, and then Carrie, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
The Green Mile always escapes me.
Yeah, and that one, I think it was just kind of a, I don't know, it was popular. I remember it being popular, and I think it may even got nominated for some awards, but I don't think it had, I don't know, I think it was kind of coming on the tail end of, you know, Tom Hanks winning every award, and it did follow Shawshank, so they'd already had kind of a prison movie by Stephen King. So, like, I don't know if it really lived up to the hype, because it kind of, like, was at that tail end of it. But even, did y'all see Dolores Claiborne?
Yes. Wow, that movie's good.
That's another Kathy Bates, Stephen King.
He is amazing in that movie.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a lot of, and again, I think KB said it. I mean, he's been writing now for at least 40 years. And it seems like, I remember in the 90s, it seems like every year ABC had some kind of adaptation out of his, The Stand and, It, and, what were we talking
even
about?
Even like Children of the Corn is one too,
yeah,
that they
it.
Did.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That, you know, they read the Rose, was it Rose Red or Rosebud or whatever? That was an ABC
movie. Rose Red.
They redid The Shining on ABC. I mean, like every
Kingdom
year.
Kingdom Hospital?
Yeah, that was one. Yeah. I mean, it seems like every year in the 90s, they had a big, kind of a big budget thing on ABC.
Big release.
So, yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to soak in. I mean, Salem's Lot was, I think that was on CBS in 1980.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that book. It's so scary.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's just a ton. I mean, we could double
Storm
this.
Of the Century.
Storm of the Century.
I was going to say, mm-hmm. yeah, that creeped me out. Yeah. Oh, man, my mom loved Storm of the Century.
So, cool. Who wants to go first?
I don't have anything. I don't have one. I thought that they were all, like, fairly enjoyable.
Yeah, like, the only thing that I was going to bring up was I said I liked Thinner, but it had a 15% Rotten Tomatoes score. So
I was going to say that.
It's a good guilty pleasure one, I guess.
Yes.
I mean, you kind of go into watching the Stephen King stuff with the possibility that it'll be corny. So I feel like maybe you don't go in with the mindset that it's going to be this crazy masterpiece.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I have one that I feel very strongly about, it being terrible. It's Dreamcatcher.
Mm-hmm.
Dreamcatcher.
Oh, that one was underwhelming.
It was, in my opinion, really terrible. And I think mostly because it's a complete waste of talent, because you've got Damian Lewis, Thomas Jane, Jason Lee, Timothy Oliphant are the four actors in it, and they're great actors.
Oh, yeah.
They're
for
amazing.
Sure.
And so it sounds like it should be great. And I don't know what it is. And the book itself is also just crazy and about 500 pages too long. And it just is all over the place. And maybe it was that, just adapting such a crazy book in general was difficult, but the movie just did not land. And then you've got Donnie Wahlberg playing the Duddits character, and it's just kind of awful.
It's so weird.
It's very bizarre. And I saw it in the theaters. I think I was with my grandfather seeing it, and we both were just like, why? And everyone in the theater was like, this is the worst movie ever.
It is definitely one that I've watched. I watched it when it originally came out. I watched it a second time, like, years later, and I have not watched it since.
Yeah, it's just bad. It's terrible. So, yeah, that's my lightning round one. I feel very strongly about it being crap. And which is
now I want to rewatch it just to see how bad it is.
It could be pretty funny bad, I'm sure, if you've got a couple of drinks in you, you know.
Yeah,
hilarious.
And if not, you could probably turn it into a drinking game. So.
Oh, true.
So I was going to say, yeah. Challenge accepted.
Yeah. Well, I was actually going to mention Thinner, but when Lana said she liked it, I didn't want to be mean.
I just love the cherry pie in that movie. Yeah. Really, that's the star.
But in this one, well, an honorable mention is Secret Window with Johnny Depp. That was just a really bad one.
Boy, that was Stephen King. Yeah. I don't even remember that. Mm-hmm.
And Johnny, and I think he's just too Johnny Depp in that movie, and it just kind of flames it. You know, there's a point in which you reach too much Johnny Depp-ness, and it just goes kind of sour at a certain point.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It's really bad. This one, so I'm actually getting this off of Collider.com. They actually compiled a list of the worst, you know, worst movies. And this one's number 3 on their list. And I was like, oh, yeah, this one's bad. So they even admit it is kind of a cheat. It's not an adaptation of a novel or anything. He just wrote the movie. So it's still a Stephen King story. But it's Sleepwalkers. Came out in 92.
I don't remember that one at all.
That one was the weird one that was like, all right, well, I'll just read it off their website. Charles and Mary Brady are mother and son, and they're the last two surviving energy vampires who can shapeshift into werecats.
Nope.
I'm out. Sounds delightful.
Yes, but that's not all. They feed off the life force of virgin women. Their only weaknesses are cats, like house cats.
Wait, I remember this one.
And they are also sleeping with each other. Having sex with her son is what keeps Mary alive.
Oh, wow. My God.
I just remember the Charles guy. He's driving in like a Camaro, and he's shapeshifting and driving down the road. And evidently they had a throwback, or they had an Easter egg, because the bully in, It is driving the same car that he drove from Sleepwalkers.
Oh my God. How
wow.
I remember that movie.
Yeah. That
like
was
barely, but I remember it.
Yeah.
Ugh, wow, that just sounds very painful. Yeah. Actually,
so,
but
very, you know,
very funny.
And it's like, you know, it's like everybody. I mean, you know, not every, like, you know, Michael Jackson didn't release Thriller every time he put an album out, you know, so so, you know, with as much stuff as he puts out and as, you know, as proficient as he is, you know, I'm sure at some point they're just kind of like, well, what do you want to do? And he's like, well, I got this story about a energy vampire, you know, like, I'm sure he eventually just starts throwing them ideas, you know, so they're not all going to work.
The old Family Guy quote from years ago where Stephen King, it's like one of those brief things that Family Guy does, and he's in like an agent's office and kind of looking around, and they're like, what's your next story about? And he's like, it's a haunted, and he's like, lamb.
That's incredible.
And it's, you know, it sometimes it's like, okay, yeah, I can see it. But sometimes he pulls it off, so like with Chattering Teeth, he pulls it off really well.
Yeah, exactly.
Unrelated, somebody I saw on Twitter, they dressed up like Jordy Verrill from Creepshow. And,
fun.
Yeah, had the grass all over him and stuff. So that's incredible.
That is awesome.
Well, cool. Well, that was a good chat about Mr. King.
I love it.
Yeah, I think the big thing, you know, we've talked about, you know, this big year he's had, and, you know, 1922 just came out, and Gerald's Game, and It, and, you know, that's been a really big year for him. So, kind of coming out of the Halloween season, we thought this would be a, you know, a good rebound or a good way to start off the non-horror season. So, yeah.
And I'm serious when I say I want a full episode dedicated to It.
Sure. I think we would be just totally out of the loop if we didn't have that. You know?
Maybe when it comes out on Blu-ray and we can, you know, let more people check it out and see some of the
deleted
scenes.
I need some time
commentary
to finish the book.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Ooh, yeah, we could do like a mystery science theater. We could all get together and play it and podcast live.
That would be amazing. Oh,
that is incredible.
I would love that.
And we've talked about too. I mean, I think we'll have to get more people on Twitter, but live tweeting a movie, just like picking a time and date and saying, "Hey, we're going to watch, you know, gate, the gate or whatever, and just live tweeting it and stuff like that. So
I think that sounds incredible. Yeah. And we should do both of those things. Now everybody's getting a little behind the scenes of how we think up ideas. Right. We won't give too much away, but I agree. We should do both of those things.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, now I think we're going to move over to the our horror podcast shout outs that we try to do once a week. And I think Lena's got a couple, and then or one or however many, and then I have a couple. So.
Yeah, I have one. It is called the Sofa King Podcast, which I love. It's one of my staples. It's three guys, Brent, Brad, and Dave, and they are out of Bakersfield, California, and they are hilarious. But what got me into them is, so they do mostly conspiracy theories, but they do a lot of serial killer episodes, which I think are the best. The Charlie Manson episode being the first one I ever listened to, which was super interesting. Plus with their commentary, they're just so funny. Ed Gein is another one. And Albert Fish is probably the most messed up one I've ever listened to. So if y'all want to hear a messed up,
I've watched a documentary about him. And
he's so weird.
Yeah. Crazy. You know, plus with Ed Gein being like the guy that inspired like Leatherface and all kinds of stuff. And not to mention nipple belts. Yeah, that's a thing.
Okay.
That's all you need to know.
That's a thing. Exactly.
All you need to know.
But yeah, Sofa King Podcast, which those guys are super awesome. And if you're a fan, you can, you know, be involved on their Facebook page. And they're super involved with their fans, which I think is great. So check it out if you can. Mm-hmm. That's all I have tonight.
Awesome. Well, mine is here in Nashville, we had the Full Moon Horror and Tattoo Convention. It's a yearly thing. This was, I think, the 16th year for the show. And I went, and then Kayla went the next day. So we at least got to go separately. But I ran into two local podcasts. We follow each other on Twitter and stuff. And the first one, actually, we almost ran into each other at the movies. I went to see Monster Squad at during the Regal Horror Fest thing. And they were there. And we found out later we were at the same showing, so almost saw each other there. But it's the Half-Assed Horror Cast. And it's Jeff, Kia, and Craig, and I believe they were all there at the horror convention, and super cool. Mom just hung out for a little bit, chatted, and Craig said that they lived up to their name because you know, they don't put out daily content, and they don't have a set schedule when they do new shows. So that's why they call it the half-ass, because they just kind of, you know, go at their own pace and stuff. So
I love that.
Yeah. So cool to see someone else in the area doing, you know, similar stuff to us. And then the other two guys I hung out with were Jimmy and Johnny from Tennessee Horror News. They actually had a booth at the show, had a table set up, and they gave me some swag, got a cup and some stickers and stuff, and I gave them some of our stickers, and we just talked shop for, you know, 30, 45 minutes, and I kind of gave them some industry tips, and they gave me some industry tips, and it was a good time. It's good to, part of why we do this every week is, you know, kind of the camaraderie, and we, you know, want to build a network and build a community. Also, like I think we might've mentioned on the first episode, you know, we all listen to podcasts, some of us more than others. So if we hadn't listened to podcasts before now, I don't think any of us would have the balls to try to do this. So, you know, we are fans. That's the whole reason we're doing this. We're fans of horror. We're fans of other podcasts and all that kind of stuff. So, going to try to shout out at least one a week, no matter what, but you know, like this week we had three. So, yeah, but they're, let me see if I can find their. So, like, Tennessee Horror is a TN Horror News. That's their Twitter handle. And then Half-Assed Horrorcast is HA and then Horrorcast. Or you could just go to the search bar and just type in, you know, that, and it'll take you there, too. So, so that's the shout-outs this week. And then I think Kayla's going to do our social media stuff.
Yes. You can always find us at Music City Horror, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We are all over the place. And also, please give us a phone call because we want to talk to you guys. We promise that we would love to hear from you and that we'll talk about what you talk about as long as it's interesting and nice. So call us and leave us a message. Our number is 615-538-7474. And we'd love to hear from you. So please call. It'll be awesome.
I got excited the other day. I checked the app and I thought I had a notice and I was like, oh shit, we have a voicemail. And I was in the wrong app. So
I'm just waiting for someone to call and have a voicemail and us be excited and it just be like a fart noise.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting.
That would be ideal.
Or it'll be like someone used to own that number and it's like a hospital bill or something. Like
right.
You know, just something dumb. You know, the other thing we talked about last week, we're on Indie Popcorn now, so indiepopcorn.fm. If you wanna check out the show there, they're posting our shows once we, you know, send them out every Friday. They also have other podcasts. We shouted those out last week. And we might have news of, might be on some other networks soon. So we'll keep everybody posted on that. And we might have some schematics to work out, but, we might be bringing you some interviews soon, which could be awesome or train wreck, depending on how it goes. So,
come on, have some faith.
Have some faith.
We'll be awesome.
but you know, without giving it away, people that have been in horror movies and a lot of them are considered classics. We might have some connections with some of those actors. And, so we might have some cool interviews coming up. So keep your fingers crossed and we'll let you know about that. And, do you guys have anything else?
No, nah, man, I'm tired.
No.
Yeah. All talked out.
We have all had a very, very long week.
Yep.
It's just too much fun.
Yeah. I'm going to watch the final episode of Stranger Things. And then I'm done. And then I think it's bedtime. So.
Yep.
Well, cool. Well, thanks for tuning in and thanks for sticking with us through Halloween and, you know, keeping up with the movie list if you did. If you didn't, maybe next year. And yeah, that's it. We'll see everybody next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.